Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
My topic this morning is stay balanced to be healthy. So if I ask the question, who here, you don't have to answer, but it just in your minds, who here wants health and wants to stay healthy? Well, I would venture to guess that everybody here would say yes. Now, balance is one of the easiest to not be in alignment with us not noticing. Sometimes when we're out of balance in life, it's one of the easiest things for us not to notice. John has a wonderful set of a dictionary set that's 10 times better than the one that I had. And I usually look up some words, even though I have a sense that I know the meaning of. And did you know that balance has 17 definitions? 17 definitions. So just a couple of them. A thing of equal importance. Stability due to equilibrium. And this is the key one. General harmony between parts of anything. Balance of mind is sanity. That means if we're not balanced in mind, guess what? All right. So my purpose is threefold. Question for us to ask, as I ask myself. How balanced am I in my life? How balanced is my life? And I want to ask another question in conjunction with that in a moment or two. Number two, signs of imbalance in our life. And as I said earlier, I was hoping you wouldn't think that this was an overly negative topic, but sometimes we have to look at certain areas for us to wake up that, hey, that's out of alignment. Hey, I'm out of balance here. So I'm going to be pointing to these things, signs of imbalance. And then number three, healthy choices around staying balanced to be healthy. And of course, we can't go through all of them today. So the question at the beginning was, again, how balanced am I and how balanced is my life? Second question to ask relative to that is, how stressed am I? Because when we're in stress, when we're stressed, our life is out of balance. Major problem in modern life is increased pressure to what? Keep busy. To keep busy. We're continually being overstimulated. I couldn't find the little article that I'd cut out. Sometimes I file them in the wrong places. And sometimes I just don't know where to file them. But I had read an article where it said that children, when they're exposed to television too early and too long, are more susceptible to having attention deficit disorder. Why? Because they're overstimulated at a very, very young age. I thought that was very interesting. So we as adults are being totally overstimulated from television, from our computers, from radio, from satellite. Most of us have more appointments than we ever had before. We're meeting more people than probably we've met before. We go to more places. We have more appointments, we meet more people, and we go to more places than our grandparents did in their lifetime. And we usually do that within a year or two. A study suggests that 80 to 90% of all doctor's visits are stress-related complaints, even though they're not coming and labeling it so. Leading unbalanced, stressful lives leads to the sickness of epidemic proportion, busyness, and hurry, hurry, hurry sickness. The stress response overactivates our adrenals. And if that stress continues and the adrenals are overactive, they may not be able to generate enough adrenaline to raise our blood sugar when we need it. And therefore, a lot of people are hypoglycemic. And irritability is one symptom of hypoglycemia. Irritability is. Somebody's phoning the center today to find out what time we start. We know that stress causes anxiety, uneasiness, and for us to worry. So what are some signs of imbalance in the form of this hurry, hurry, hurry sickness? Now, most of us, I would say, in the audience, possibly if we're expressing some of these, we're probably expressing it to a very low level. But if you're expressing any of these to a high level, I would say it's like, you know, this topic is like this to us today. Eating in a rush. I know people that sit down and they inhale their food. Eating while standing, walking, or driving. Not spending enough time at home. And when you get home, you're weary, tired, and maybe vegging out in front of television. Routinely drive too fast and being impatient with other drivers, running yellow lights, constantly changing lanes. Some people just talk very fast. And of course, not communicating our feelings is a big one. And then we have people that have a lack of time to give emotional support to their family and friends. Is your life full of undone chores? We have an in basket on a section in our kitchen. And I said to John, I'd like us today to put aside some time to get together and go through this basket, because I know there's a number of things that I've expired or we've done. There's a number of things we have to look at. Do we want to do these or go there? And to make a list and you know, see which are the most important to both of us. But if you have them all kind of in your consciousness, or if you're walking around in your house or office or whatever and you go, oh yeah, there's that, oh yeah, there's that, oh yeah, there's that. Today I was looking at, I had on another kitchen counter a little Christmas decoration that one of the grandkids made us, and it was a Christmas tree and there were buttons on it and two of the buttons fell off. And I thought, I'll go downstairs and pick out two bright buttons and glue them on. Well, they've been on the counter for, and every time I pass there I go, oh yeah, I want to do that. And you know, like what it is? It's like a vexation to the spirit, undone. That's not a chore, but it's something that I'd like to do because we want to keep it, you know. So many responsibilities that relaxing is almost impossible. How many of us, and I know I have certainly been there because I was trained that way by my mother, but I'm not this way anymore, feel guilty when not doing something productive? In our house, you just don't say, I have nothing to do, or I'm bored, or find her catch you doing nothing. There's always steel-wooling the floors. You've got nothing else to do. Some people think vacations aren't worth it because of the, you know, the getting ready and you have to make a decision and all the rest, so they just don't take them. Some people are feeling tired and run down. Some people cry more easily. I'm not saying crying isn't important, but some people have trouble sleeping. They have frequent colds or flu. I said to my doctor last year, I said, you know, I had a cold this year and I was really ticked off with myself. And I said, I take lots of supplements and I know how to look after myself. And he says, don't feel bad. I had a cold this year too. He says, there was a very bad strain going around. He said, if you hadn't been doing what you did, you probably would have been down far longer than you were. So it's like that. I still have to get over being impatient with myself when I'm not well. Yeah. How about making everything and everybody more important than taking loving care of yourself? Loving care of yourself. You know, when we rush about, we can easily lose sense of civility and good manners. I know one time I don't know what came over me. I was actually rude to someone. I remember where it was. And I went back actually to apologize to her, and she was no longer there. But I got in the car, I was driving home, and I thought, what's with you? And I was just in a rush, and she was a service person in a store. And thank God I can only remember one time that I know I was rude. But you know, for us to catch ourselves and really look at ourselves, so how was I in that interaction? And sometimes when we're in a hurry, we tend to be sharp and impatient, not only with ourselves and others. All right. So it's for us to look at causes rather than wait until the stress is so bad that we need medication. No. I was reading a little excerpt from Judy Orloff, MD, assistant clinical professor at UCLA. Our society is in the midst of an emotional meltdown. It's madness that we've come to tolerate chronic anxiety, fatigue, or depression as normal. Prozac was prescribed to over 30 million people in the United States last year. Whoa. All right. So it's not about, you know, blaming other things. It's not about blaming the economics if we're worried. It's not about saying, well, it's just the pace of society now. It's moving fast and I've got to be with it. Rather than looking outward, it's for us to look inward. That's really what the Center for Self-Awareness is about. Center for self-awareness, being aware of what's going on within ourselves. We could look at our physical symptoms. There's many, I don't have to go through them. We can look at behavioral symptoms. Some of it just turns out like, you know, increased smoking, increased alcohol use. Emotional things. Edginess, feeling lonely, nervous, crying, feeling powerless. And then there's cognitive things, forgetfulness, an inability to make decisions. Not that we're not able to, but we have trouble with it. Unclear thinking, thoughts of escape, sometimes people have those, worrying, and certainly lack of creativity. All little symptoms to kind of, hello, to pay attention here. You need to put a little more balance into your life. Workaholism is a really big one. Any addiction. You know, sometimes people say it's to fill a hole in the soul. And I really don't like that terminology because it just doesn't work for me. I mean, soul, spirit, and is there a hole in your spirit? Mm. But I think what people are saying when they're saying that is that people put in these habits that possibly come to addictions to fill an emptiness. And they really don't have, they're really not in touch with just that emptiness, what that emptiness is. They don't stop long enough to ask a question. Am I feeling empty? I was saying some people turn to workaholism, and that has physical, intellectual, emotional, social, and spiritual side effects. The cost is certainly high erosion of the quality of our life. And it can turn, the stress and imbalance can turn into other addictions. Some people, when they're addicted, and even if they admit that they are, they could even say, I know I'm addicted, but I also believe I alone can handle this. Well, I don't think there's too many people that can handle it alone. You know, to go and seek some assistance, go and speak to other people that are going through the same kinds of things, go to a support group, go to anonymous groups, certainly raise your consciousness, and certainly know and be in touch with that you are immersed in spirit and there is higher power. I don't like to say within you. You are immersed within it. And to look to that and to ask for help that way. Not just you, yourself, and I. You know, small self, S-E-L-F. I was reading an article that was saying some people, I kind of laughed out loud when I read this, but it's not a laughing matter. Some people sleep with their blackberries under their pillow. Wow. Where have we gotten to in this day and age? There's a belief, I was reading in the same article in the Globe and Mail, there's the belief that the new on-the-ball employee proves their worth by the speed of their response. Whether it's at night, weekends, on vacation. So, you ever notice when you're on an airplane, and I certainly noticed this because we were just on airplanes lately, the instant the announcement comes over that it's now safe to use approved electrical devices on an airplane, whew, most, you know, so many of them come out. So many of them are on their cell phones almost immediately. And I think to myself, what did people do before they had those things? You know? I'm not saying don't use them, but really look to see, are you running it or is it running you? Really look to see, are you running it or is it running you? Another article was talking about this kind of thing and was talking about email and saying it's not a good thing to check your email first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Now, I do check my email quite early in the morning, and then I turn my computer off. So I'm not checking it and checking it and checking it and checking it. And it made this suggestion, and I think this is more for a balanced life, to only answer your email 2 times a day, unless it has something to do that's urgent with your work, and you've got the kind of position that you must do something, do check it. It certainly erodes your boundaries between your personal life and other aspects of your life. All right. What would be some healthy choices to stay balanced, to be healthy? Well, the whole month of March is always about purification and release and letting go. So what are some of the things that we could let go of? There's some syndromes that people are involved in, and I've touched on one or two of them already. But there's a syndrome of always being competent, and you must get everything done. You must get everything done. There's, of course, the workaholism syndrome. Work hard all the time. You must finish before you play. It's a big one. And I'm only worth as much as my accomplishments. And then there's the striving syndrome, to improve myself in every way. Now, sometimes people in New Thought get into this striving syndrome. They get into it and they learn so much in so many different areas. And oh my gosh, there's this that I could change, and there's that I could do, and there's this workshop that I could go to, and there's these 15 books that I want to read. And it's not about joy. It's about have to and hurry and rush and putting extra stress on yourself instead of sitting back and saying, so what is calling to me? What is calling to me? And am I willing to really tell the truth as to just which area, if I focused on, would make the biggest difference in my life right now? Would make the biggest difference in my life right now. I remember years ago when I used to talk a lot about the S training and the forum and the pursuit of excellence, because my late husband and I took all of those courses years ago, and people invariably found out about that, and their pursuit of excellence was really big in Victoria at the time, and they even had an office here. And they'd come up to me and say, which should I take? Which is better? And I'd say, you're comparing apples to oranges, and I can't answer that for you. But if you're willing to go and listen to the introductions and not listen to any pressure from the presenters, not listen to any pressure from your friends who invited you, but look in your heart and saying, what is it for me now? Is this calling to me now? Is there something here that I've heard today that would make a difference to me, that I would really want to do this, that I would want to place myself into that environment? That's putting balance in your life. That's not being, you know, just battered around by other people's opinions and suggestions and life itself. Continuing with that striving syndrome, it's no matter how capable I am, I could have done it better. Hey, I know that one really well. I grew up with this box. And in the box was, that's not good enough. You could have done better. Even though it was very good, you could have done better. And I still kind of catch myself when I want to get in there and pull myself back. Then there's the tough syndrome. A lot of guys have this, but there's women too. Challenge brings out the best in me. I really don't move forward unless I have great challenges. And I don't need much sleep, and I can tolerate pain and upset and worry and the pressure. I can tolerate it all. So, staying balanced to be healthy is what? Slow down. I think I shared with you one topic that when I lived in on Triangle Mountain in Colwood, and I used to stop by this place in Colwood Corners and pick up. We used to order name tags for people that people wanted to pay for the name tags, and I went in there and to pick them up and pay for them. And the woman behind the counter, she really was a gift to me. She said, you know, you're always in a hurry when you come in here. And that stopped me. I walked out of there kind of slowly, got in the car, and I thought, that's right. Every time I've been in there, I've been in a hurry because I've gone to the office and I thought, oh yeah, I've got to pick that up. In there, rush in there. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, like, stop. Somebody saying something to you, or you realizing something, to put some balance into your life. You redirect your energy in a positive way. You know, many of us know about fasting for food, which is a good thing to do a couple times a year at least, and not for very long. But have we ever thought about fasting from things that come between us and the feeling of love? Of feeling loved, of being lovable and of expressing our love. Have we ever fasted from anything that comes between those things? Now, someone said it this way: fast from anything that comes between you and God. Well, there is no and God. There's you as God. But have you forgotten? Do you not remember? Can we fast for anything that gets in the way of us remembering who we are, staying in that, and living out of that? Good questions to ask ourselves. There are some stress busters that I'm just going to go over with you for a little bit. And they're things that you have heard before. Probably you say, well, I know that. Your mind goes, yeah, I knew that. My question is, how much of this do you do? Especially when you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling worried, if you're feeling tired, whatever. First one is to get moving. Exercise trumps drugs for mild depression. Big caption in an article just lately. Exercise trumps drugs for mild depression. Boy, there was lots to say in that. Moving gets our heart rate up, and if we can get it up past 100 per minute, it reduces tension in the body. Number two is meditation and breathe deeply. Now, some people say, I don't have time to meditate. Well, maybe you're saying that you have to meditate an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. Start small. Just even concentrating on your breathing is a form of meditation. Focus on the rhythm. Focus on the sound. Focus on, as you breathe deeply, as we do every Sunday, I give you a very powerful pranayama, and that is visualizing silver light going up your spinal pathway. It's a very, very powerful thing to do. 1/2 minute of that revolution of energy around our sensitive spinal cord affects subtle progress in one's evolution, equivalent to 1 year of natural evolution. And that's not me saying it, that's Paramahansa Yogananda says that. So, like that. We have a live food expert in the crowd in the form of Kathy Splann. She had John and I over for a fabulous live food meal. It was fabulous. So bringing balance into our life is certainly about eating stress-free, relieving diets. Organic, plant-based, emphasize raw, emphasize fresh produce, especially leafy green. This is a quotation I picked up somewhere, quote, produce is the most important health care money can buy. Produce is the most important health care money can buy. Many diabetics can go off of their medication just by dietary changes. Not all, but some people can do that. We never see ice cream trees, potato chip bushes, or donut vines in nature. Keep hydrated. Now, you know, I've said this so many times. 8 glasses of water a day, at least. Another article. An experiment by psychologists in Britain offers one simple lesson: have a drink. We tested a group of 6 to 7 year olds on various cognitive tests, and then 40 minutes later asked half the group to leave the room while the remaining kids were offered a drink of water. After another 45 minutes, both groups were retested. The kids who were offered a drink performed significantly better on tests of visual attention and search. Wow. So many of us, and I know I certainly didn't know this when I was raising my kids. I didn't know how important water was. I didn't know that. It's been said that most people that suffer from asthma are suffering basically from dehydration of the body. So good thing to do, just one thing, look to see how much water you drink this next 24 hours. And if it is 8 to 10 glasses a day. Yeah, surprising things can make you tired. A lot of people are walking around in a mild state of dehydration. When you're thirsty, you are already dehydrated. You feel, oh, I need a drink of water. Have more than just a little drink. Sleep is very important. Laugh a lot. And be thankfulness. And thankfulness and gratitude is a real great stress buster. A real great stress buster. Now, John and I have a trainer that's been coming to our home and working with each of us individually for an hour. And I'm just going to take my shoes off for a minute to show you something. And we work with a ball, too, and weights. And when he came this week, because I wasn't well, we just did stretches. But it's interesting, when you look at these areas that I asked you to look at, and you start to put something in, now you may fall off, you know, and I'm going to make the analogy to, you know, sitting on the ball. The first time I sat on the ball, you know, and raised one foot, I couldn't do it. I couldn't raise one foot when I was sitting on the ball. And then later on, I had to sit on the ball, raise one foot, and toe, and point my toe that was on the ground. Hard to do when you haven't done it. And then you put your heel on the ground, you're sitting on the ball, and you put your heel out. Then you take 2-pound weights. When you get in those positions and you do this, and see how long you can hold it, 10 seconds, 25 seconds. What I'm saying here is if it's hard to do, if something's hard to do, just notice that it's hard to do at first. It's hard to remember sometimes, hard to change sometimes, hard to shift sometimes. I had trouble standing on one foot. I could not do it when he first started, you know? And then, of course, you know, you do the one foot thing, and then he says, close your eyes. Whole different ball of wax. So that's a different form of balance, you know? There's many places that we can go. Like, we're fortunate we live very close to the Panorama Center, and we're going to start dropping in there a little, in addition to what we're doing. And a whole bunch of things that you can work with that, well, just... the trainer said to me, he says, you're going to have a new body because of the core that you're working on. So to stay balanced, to be healthy, is also look for ways, and I don't have time to, you know, and of course it's not part of this particular topic, but look for ways to strengthen your core. It's not only that you have better posture, but you will not in your older age fall as easily. A lot of people in their older age fall and then they die from fractures. So, want to leave you with this question. Can you fully relax without guilt? Can you? Yes, one person. Are you willing to fully relax without guilt? Yes, I am too. So thank you for your presence this morning, for your conscious listening and attention, for laughing at my jokes. And you've been a blessing to me this morning, and God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you. I only had to use one throat.